thank you very much for coming. It's a joy to gather together. I'm not sure if you had the opportunity to be involved and connect. I talked to Richard, and it was exciting to hear that class and some of the things they were talking about and discussing in that class. And so if you can make it here at 9:30 Sunday morning, then we have three adult classes at the moment we'd like you to be involved in. Wes Dobson is teaching a class on Titus. Tremendous. Mr. Gunther teaching a class as well. Exciting for that, that even through all these years, no, he was a gung-ho to get going again. And so that's exciting to see. It's almost like a testimony of Caleb, you know, when the age of 80, and they went into the promised land, and he said, I've still got my strength of 40 years previous, and I want to move forward. I want to possess this land that I believe is the Hebron area that he had his eye on. And he moved, even at that age, forward by faith. And so that's exciting times of some things that God wants to teach us. I want to take a time before I begin to just have a word of prayer. And I think I forgot a few people that I told you about, so I need to back up a little bit and pray for these people as well. So let's just have a time of prayer. Dear Father, this morning, thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity we have to study it. And we're thankful for each one of our Connect teachers. And thank you for their involvement and laying it upon their heart to be involved in that way, all the way from high school, all the way into seniors, and thank you for each one. This morning we're praying for Dawson, praying that you might place your hand upon him and give him strength through the headaches, through the migraines, that you might give wisdom and direction for the doctors into knowing how to manage life with these. We're praying for Tracy Unger and praying that you might continue to give her the strength she needs day by day. We're thankful that the last MRI seems to be holding steady, and now they're making plans as well that they weren't able to make before. And just pray that you might give victory day by day, that you might enable her to be a wife, enable her to be a mother and a sister, and be able to allow her to be able to function day in and day out. And then as well for Jake and Margaret as they walk that difficult road, and just pray that you might be their sustaining strength by day, and that you might give peace in this process as well, for praying it. And as well, Heavenly Father, we just pray for this message this morning, that indeed you might speak to our hearts and challenge us in your truth. We pray in your name. Amen. I'm not sure if we call this a series of complicated relationships, that we kind of ended that last Sunday, but before we begin something new, I'd just like to speak a couple messages from the book of Deuteronomy. I believe that when Pastor Gary asked me to take the next couple Sundays, I was asking the Lord, God, Lord, what direction do you want me to have in what you would have me to speak? And all of a sudden, I thought about this Deuteronomy chapter 1, and so I'd like to reflect with you this morning on the book of Deuteronomy. And next Sunday, we want to continue the story. And then it was originally just going to be one message, but then all of a sudden it looked like, no, it was going to grow, and I needed to split it. So this morning, I've called this message A Difficult Journey. And I want to reflect to some degree this morning on the path that God has taken us over these last 2 years, but to a greater degree, even to all of life. See, all of life has been a journey. And for some of us, it's been a long journey. For others, it's been a shorter journey. But through the years, God has been showing us his character and desires to show us his character. That as we walk the road, as God has shown us his power, as God has shown us his strength and who he is, it is for a purpose that we might walk forward to whatever God has for us next, whatever the challenges that are before us. And indeed, when we look at the Israelite, as they came to Kadesh Barnea, they had one of those challenging moments that they had to make a decision about. See, we've all have memories of family trips, and I'm not sure if you have those former memories of when you took a trip with your family. There's an excitement of our arrival at the destination, but between the starting point and the destination is an experience that we've all experienced. Maybe your family is maybe different than my family that I grew up with. We had some great experiences along the route. Some of you are already anticipating the holidays you have planned later this spring, and maybe you are anticipating over the summer some holidays and taking those trips with the opening that we have now before us. Visiting that location or family that you have missed over these cold winters and over the restrictions that were in place. Your anticipation is only marred by the fact that getting from here to there is going to be a wilderness experience, if we want to make some parallels. Often we start those trips in the car, and maybe your experiences were similar to ours. We start off great. We start off with everybody loving each other. But as the trip goes along, we soon hear the questions come upon us. Are we there yet? How much longer? And then we try and give answers that are reflective of how much longer the trip is going to be. And then all of a sudden, the war soon begins. So-and-so is in my space. My brother is taking up this. My brother's hogging the iPad. My brother wants to watch this, but I want to watch this. And then all of a sudden, the war is upon us. And maybe your experiences are like that. Or maybe even this trip to church this morning was a little bit like that. And you arrived this morning all frazzled and said, well, thank goodness for Connect, that the kids can go in that class, those teachers can have them for a few minutes, and I don't have to deal with them. And then I can get myself back in the right place once again. And often when we were in the training in Durham, we were assigned a church that was 45 minutes away. And so that trip was an experience every Sunday. And that our kids would either get sick, then we would give them gravel, which then they would sleep through church. Or we could have the choice of them being sick and then them being awake for church. And so then we had a battle along that route. Which do we do along that trip? It doesn't take a long trip to experience this. The nation of Israel left a life of persecution at the hands of the Egyptians. And they began that trip. And as we began that trip, we know that God heard their cry. God saw them where they were at, because we know in Exodus 3, verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. And what God was seeking to teach them and wants us to learn as well is that we have a God who sees, we have a God who hears. And over those 430 years that they were in Egypt, God saw, God heard, and God here begins to respond to their cries. And he reaches out to Moses. They left Egypt after plundering their captors, and they set out on a trip to a destination that had been described to them as a land flowing with milk and honey. See, they had been living in Goshen, a sweet spot to grow crops and tend their flocks. You know that when Jacob came down to Egypt with his family, some of 70 individuals, that Joseph gave them, with the Pharaoh's blessing, the land of Goshen. It was a prime spot in Egypt. But they lived lives as slaves, but they also were able to grow cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, garlic, as well as bread in abundance. And they had pots of meat, as they described. As they reflected upon their past life, they were able to grow much crops. But yet, they were slaves. And so they were asking God to move them out, to come in and intervene. This promised land must be a location if it rivaled this. And so what God was promising them, a land of their own flowing with milk and honey, must have rivaled what they had experienced. And so the anticipation was great. Having a land that would belong to them without an evil taskmaster would have been high on their wish list. To have their own land, to not have somebody else dictating to them what they had to do, when they had to do it, and how they had to do it. And so the trip begins with great excitement and anticipation. Maybe the first hours were taken up with inventorying their new wealth. There may have been some questions about the direction they were heading, as it was not the shortest route and would involve getting over a large body of water. But as they started to head out as a group of people, seemingly maybe around 2 million individuals, a large group, there was excitement. Wow, what's in front of us? And maybe there were some queries as well, because some of them would have known there was a shorter route to what God had promised them, but God was directing them down a different route. And so then we come into the wilderness, and we begin to hear the grumbling that begins. They're only about, I think, 3 days off out of the Red Sea, where they experienced a mighty hand of God. And then all of a sudden they started grumbling to Moses. And almost Moses describes it as almost like they were ready to pick up stones and throw and hurl at him, to that point where all of a sudden they didn't have water. And so the frustration, the grumbling that soon began. And then from Mount Horeb, God leads them towards the launching point, which was Kadesh Barnea. So we come to Deuteronomy 1, verse 19. Then we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, just as the Lord our God had commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. So we see their description of the route that God took them through. They said it was a horrible and terrible wilderness. Deuteronomy 8:15 shares with us, he led us through a great and terrible wilderness with his fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground. And so we begin to picture a trip that God was leading on that was not an easy trip, was not a fun experience. And even Deuteronomy 32 verse 10 says, a howling waste of wilderness. And so this trip was a troubling trip. And all of a sudden, the grumbling began along the route. Through it all, they were witnesses of the manifold grace of God. God provided food, God provided water, God provided meat, and the sustaining of their footwear and his presence through that whole process. All along the route, God was seeking to teach them who he was. As they walked through the wilderness, he wanted them to know him and experience him. They saw his presence in the temple. They saw his presence through the cloud by day and the fire by night. And that was all there, that God might guide them, that they might realize that they have a God who wanted to lead them and was leading them. That they had a God who sought to provide for them, a God who sought to sustain them. And that was the God who was leading them towards that land that he was desiring to give them. The trip was not easy, but all along the way, they were witnesses to God's sustaining grace and manifestations of his power. God manifested his presence to them through the tabernacle, but also the cloud by day and the fire by night. God was seeking to teach the nation of Israel of his faithfulness and the surety of his word. What he said he would do, he would carry out. They would need to be settled in these truths and for what was to come. And so they came to Kadesh Barnea, the launching point for the fulfillment of the promise of God to give them a land of their own. And so that brings us to Deuteronomy chapter 1. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, let's read starting at verse 19 and reading down to verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. Then we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, just as the Lord our God had commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is about to give us. See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you approached me and said, let us send men before us that they may search out the land for us and bring back to us word of the way by which we should go up and the cities which we shall enter. The thing pleased me, and I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe. They turned and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. Then they took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. They brought us back a report and said, it is good, it is a good land which the Lord our God is about to give us. Yet you were not willing to go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you grumbled in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the land of the Amorites to destroy us. And so God brought them to Kadesh Barnea, to a launching point, and was expecting them to move forward. And so God issues them three commands. And you find that in verse 21. We see the command to see, we see the command to go, and we see the command to take. Those were commands that God had for them as a people. The trip through the wilderness was preparation for their present endeavor. But they forgot the past. They forgot the God who had displayed his power to them. They forgot the God who had opened up the Red Sea for them. They forgot the God who had provided for them. They forgot the God at Mount Horeb who displayed and spoke to them in person. They forgot all that. The next challenge for them would have been a continuation of them trusting God as they had been learning to do over the trip through the wilderness. This next command that God was given to them was just a continuation of what God had been leading and teaching them through the past months. But they gave themselves over to unbelief, for which they experienced the judgment of God. They bore testimony that all that God had told them about the land was true, and that it was a rich land flowing of milk and honey. See, we can look back over our lives as well, and we can bear testimony that the road was not the easiest road. And as I was sharing already, for some it's a short road, for others it's a long road, but we can look back and we can reflect that thus far God hath led me. I can look back and say, wow, all the experiences that God allowed me to experience were preparation for what he had for me in the future. And I can walk forward by faith, believe in him, because I've seen and I've witnessed his grace. I've seen his faithfulness through the years. And so when all of a sudden the next challenges come in front of me, I can say, yes, God, I'm unable, but you are able because I have been a witness of your faithfulness through the years. I can believe you for whatever you are asking of me as I move forward. Hebrews 13, verse 5 shares with us, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. That's a truth that I can rest and I know is true because I've seen that his presence with me. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. Another truth that I can look back upon and reflect. And so those are some things that God has taught me through the years that I can rest in, that I can count as a bedrock truth for whatever may come, whatever may be in front of me. The road we have traveled has been a faith-building experience. What the Israelites experienced externally, we experience internally through the presence of the Holy Spirit. They had to witness God's presence through the temple and all of that process, and also see his presence through the cloud and the fire. We have his presence with us. If you are a child of God here this morning, if you belong to him and have come in faith and repentance, you belong to him. His Holy Spirit resides within you. We can rest in that fact. We can rest in the truth of that. But are we guilty of forgetting his faithfulness and his presence when we come to the precipice of a new challenge? Challenges come in many shapes and sizes. For some, it may be health-related or a work opportunity or ministry opportunity or maybe even a family challenge. See, their challenges were unique to them. Our challenges may be unique to us. See, our world is at a troubled place, and it is easy to cower in fear and doubt. Why is this a time to move forward? Why would God challenge me to take this next step when you look all around us, there's absolute turmoil? Most of us cannot remember a more troubled time. Divisions between nations and individuals are troubling and bring us out of our comfort zone into uncertainty. And as we experience and as you watch the news of all that is going on between Russia and Ukraine, we see this could quickly escalate into something far greater. It is alarming as all the nations of the world, I think it's 140 different nations, all get on board to sanction Russia. And as you see Putin, as he makes comment that these are almost like a declaration of World War III for us. And so we see the uncertainties, and we can all of a sudden, if we let it possess us, it can take upon fear and anxiety in our lives. Divisions between nations and individuals are troubling, and they bring us out of our comfort zone into uncertainty. And so when all of a sudden God has that challenge, I want you to move forward by faith, believing me for whatever he's asking you to do. We say, oh, just a minute, God, do you see what's actually going on here? This is not a good time to travel. This is not a good time to do whatever you're asking me to do. And so we may be questioning about how to move forward when we have the international turmoil, but also turmoil and division in our own country, but also division in our own family groups and friendship groups. The turmoil that we have seen between different individuals, some family this side, some family on this side, very adamant of that. And I have experienced that in my own family as well. I have siblings that are on this side. I have siblings that are on this side. How do you walk forward in unity from those divisions? See, the Israelites gave three reasons why they cannot move forward in faith, believing God. First of all, they said the people are bigger and taller than we, and that was true. Maybe they were taller. Though I think that Moses, the people that he chose of his 12, would have chosen great specimens of physique to go and spy out the land. But they reported the people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. We saw the sons of Anakim there, And I'm sure they would have heard the rumors, they would have heard the stories, and maybe it was passed down to them through their oral history about the Anakim and all the things that you needed to fear about them. See, we can replace these with our own insurmountable challenges. They may be different for each of us, but they are seemingly obstacles preventing us from moving forward and being obedient to the command of God upon our lives. You can put your own obstacles in that place. That's what they, the Israelites, used as their obstacles, why they couldn't move forward in obedience to God. And we can mention our own obstacles, whatever they may be. They may be different for each of us, but they are seemingly obstacles preventing us from moving forward. The issues that face the Israelites may look minuscule in comparison to your situation. But the reality that our God is still God and that he is still on the throne has not changed. The only difference is our perspective. Our God that we serve is still the God that was leading the Israelites. God hasn't changed. God is still well able. God is able to lead them. That was pretty minor. No, God, our God, is overall, supreme, sovereign, overall. He has not changed. We still serve the same God today. What God was calling Israel to was possible because it was God who was going to fight on their behalf. It was possible because God was going to go before them. God was going to do the fighting. He had reminded them on multiple occasions that this was a land that he was giving to them. God also shared with them, do not fear or be dismayed. Because he knew and he saw the hearts of the people. He knew they were shaking in what was in front of them. And so he says, do not fear or be dismayed. Do not be broken, shattered, or dismayed. God knew their hearts and so encourages them with the admonition that they did not need to let fear rule their hearts. They failed to hold these obstacles, challenges up to the light of the presence of God. And too often when we all of a sudden mention the obstacles in front of us, we don't hold those obstacles up to the light of God either. Because we doubt who God is. We don't know who he is. As God has faithfully sought to teach us through the years that he has led us from. And so when all of a sudden we come to like a Kadesh Barnea experience in our own lives and God places obstacles in front of us, we begin to doubt and we begin to retreat because we fail to realize who our God is. And so we fall into fear and dismay. From a human perspective, these obstacles were impossibilities. This was testified to when they sought to go in and defeat the Amorites in their own strength. Because we find in a few verses later on, they sought, okay, let's go and get it done. Because we obviously don't want to go back into the wilderness, so let's just go get it done. And God tried to turn them back, but they went and they were defeated before the Amorites. And so, yes, in their own strength, with the obstacles in front of them were impossibilities. How could a lightly trained group possibly go against a force who would have been experienced and equipped? We know that they had fought the Amalekites and Moses had gone up on the mount and they'd held the staff up. And they were, as a nation, had fought and defeated the Amalekites. And maybe they failed in the realization of who actually won that battle. But they did have some military experience. The years in captivity had eroded their knowledge of the people in who their, eroded their knowledge of who their God was and is. The trip in the wilderness was an orientation of who God is. When the challenge came to move in and possess what God desired to give them, they pushed back in unbelief and they faced the judgment of God. God's command for them is yet God's command to us. God had a command for them to go in, to possess, to take. And we can look at our own lives and what God is commanding us in our own lives as well. That you can go into the New Testament, you can see that God yet commands us to see. God commands us to go and God commands us to take. We're all familiar with Ephesians 1 and verse 3. And let me just read that out. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We fail to realize the resources that God has given us as one of his children. We believe that God, yes, makes us one of his child, and then it's up to us to get going and to do everything in our own strength. Where God wants us to see, God wants us to realize the resources that are at our disposal. If we but ask him, if we but say, God, you're asking and challenging me to move forward. Show me the resources that are mine in Christ, that I can move forward by faith. Too often when God is asking us to move forward, we resist because our eyes are on our human resources. Wow, that's not really me. I can't teach. I can't be involved in this ministry or that ministry because that's really not me. And yes, God gifts us all differently. I realize that. And there's ministries that we shouldn't be involved in because that's not where God desires us to be. But God has gifted every believer, and we need to search, seek him for that gift, and then get involved in using what God and the resources that he desires to give us. We need to lift our eyes to the resources that are at our disposal and how powerful they are and can be. We continue on in our trip through this into Matthew chapter 28. We're all familiar with verses 18 to verse 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so we see there, as you are going, be making disciples. The command that is upon us and given to every believer, not just those who have a title of pastor in front of their name. It's a position and it's a command of God for every believer. As you are going, be making disciples. But then he goes even further, teaching them to obey all, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And so we're making disciples, but also need to be involved in seeking to teach them to observe all that I commanded you. And what do we see? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We know God's presence is there. And then we continue on in our trip into Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so even verse 13, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And so he asks us that we need to take on the full armor of God. So we need to see, we need to go, and we need to take and possess, because we're going to need the armor of God if we're going to be able to function in this world. We have an enemy that is on the offensive and would like nothing greater than to make your life ineffective and filled with fear. We have an enemy that would like nothing better than to split and divide us. And he has been working overtime these last 2 years in doing that. We need to take up the full armor of God. Have we actively done that this morning? Are we seeking to operate with the armor of God? Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As we stop for reflection at our Kadesh Barnea threshold, we have a choice as well. And so as we come to the end of these COVID restrictions, we can almost picture it a little bit like a Kadesh Barnea. What are we gonna do as we seek to move forward? Seems that we've had like almost like a wilderness experience over these past 2 years. It was not an easy trek and came with great uncertainties and fears. I'm sure we heard the remarks, "Are we there yet?" Only to hear, "Not yet, only a few more miles." And at the start of it, we knew and we thought it was only gonna be a short period of time, but it extended out to seemingly 2 years, the longest, maybe 2 years that you've experienced in a long time. And it has been a difficult road for you and maybe for your family. We heard this expression in Papua New Guinea when we tried to find out how far a location was. We would seek to ask, you know, when we're traveling some direction, like how much further? And so we would use this expression, "Emmy close to." I mean, is it close? And we would say, hear the response back, "M now," means yes, it's close. Wow. And so then you're expecting in our determination, well, that must be, you know, maybe 20, 30 minutes. But then you keep traveling an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Goodness, what does? So then we would make another expression, "Emmy close to," I mean, basically, is it really close? And we might hear expression, "Emmy no long way to mas," means it's not a long ways. And then you still travel a long ways yet. And goodness, like how do I figure this out? Because miles means nothing to them. They might be able to, if they've traveled it before, say, well, it's gonna take, you know, would it take them like 4 hours? For us, it might take eight, but, or whatever, but to try and get an expression from them of exactly how close it was. And so we would still drive or hike for a long time. Maybe the fighting began shortly thereafter. We remember the statements we soon heard. "Do I have to stop this car?" And maybe that was an expression you heard when you were growing up. And maybe you as a parent might have even used that expression. "Do I have to stop this car?" I know I heard it. but I only remember once that car ever stopping. And thank goodness it was my older brother that had to get out and walk for a bit. So we arrive at this point this morning, weary, hurt, looking for the off-ramp. It would be tempting to just sit back and put our feet up and drop out and let someone else take up the slack. See, hikes always have a way of showing us our weaknesses and what exactly makes up our character. And so if we make the correlation between the last 2 years as a hike, like the Israelites were doing in the wilderness, to our hike over these past 2 years, it has a way of showing our character and our conditioning. See, often it was not what it should have been in my own life as I complained and grumbled about the steep climb and mud as we hiked into Lele, the wet conditions, the bugs, my lack of patience for the length of the journey. And so the start of the trip, one time we were going in and we had to actually tow the vehicle up a hill because it was too muddy. We had a 4x4, but it still couldn't get up the hill. So we're actually out there towing this truck up because we wanted to park it in the village so that it'd be safe while we were in there over the weekend. So then after that, then you have to go up a steep hill and then walk through a village till you get to the river, and then down a steep to get to the river, and then you had to ford the river. And then another hour, 2 hours, going up into Lele. It was not easy, and it soon showed my character for what it was. Our hearts have been revealed over these past 2 years. Much that has been revealed is alarming, and it needs to be dealt with. See, what God has been showing us over these past 2 years, he's been showing us our hearts. And we need to say, thank you, God, that in your patience and your grace and mercy, you have shown us that. But what has God revealed to us? Have we stopped and reflected about what God has shown us as we've walked these last 2 years? Has he shown us our hearts? But also the fear and the anxiety we have allowed to rule our hearts as well. We have allowed circumstances to rule our heart instead of God and his word. We cannot sweep what God has revealed to us under the rug. That would be an easy thing to do, is as well, that's just part of life and let's just go on. No, what God has shown us, we need to deal with, whatever that may be. Whether that be fear that he has revealed to us, whether that be anxiety that he has revealed to us, whether that be sinful responses that we've had. Are we going to deal with what God has shown to us, whatever that may be? See, if we fail to deal with what God has revealed, sin will take root and we will risk, as Israel, being turned back toward the desert to live a life less than what God desires to give. They had a sin of unbelief here. One command that they didn't follow, they didn't believe. And God turned them back into the wilderness for all those over the age of 20 to live out their lives basically in fruitlessness. To basically wait for death to come. They were turned back. And if our God is still the same today, will he turn us back if we fail to deal with what he has shown us? I'm not saying that he will. But if we have the God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, dare we not deal with what God has revealed to us? Also, what God has commanded us to be about, that it was to some degree put on hold. What about that? What about over the last 2 years when we see that God in Hebrews 10, 23 to 25? And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and let's look briefly at verses 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We have a command there. That word consider is a command. And so it doesn't mean just in our language we have cheapened it. In our language we have cheapened it to mean, well, maybe I'll think about it. No, he says to actively be thinking about how we might stimulate, how we might spur one another. And it's almost like the use of a sword where we poke to get reaction from somebody. And we need to be doing that in the lives of us, the body of Christ. And so have we been actively looking around us that we might be people who might know how to stimulate to love and good deeds? I dare say that many of us, maybe even my own self, as a challenge to myself, let that slip to the back burner. I haven't thought about what does God want to do in this individual or that individual. And then, God, as I was looking through my devotions, I was reminded about a passage in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18. 2 Corinthians 5, let's begin reading at verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. How have you been doing in that area? Seeking to reconcile individuals to each other, reconcile individuals to our God? Have we been involved in that? Maybe that's some of the things that God has been showing us over these last 2 years. God, forgive me, for that's been little practiced in my life. God wanted to bless that generation with a promised land that was all that he had promised, but he was unable because of their unbelief. They missed out on a life of victory and seeing the manifold power of God over the obstacles in front of them. They missed out. They had a golden opportunity that God was seeking to lay before them, that they could have been witnesses of God's manifold power and his grace in their lives. They missed out through unbelief. Will we miss out in unbelief if we don't move forward by faith, believing God for whatever that challenge is in front of us? He still desires for us to go forward. His desire for us is to make disciples. His desire for us is to take up the full armor of God and to walk in his manifold power, his manifold supply. That's still God's command for us. Are we going to allow the obstacles, whatever they may be, to defeat us? See, what are the giants in front of you? The cities with the thick walls are the Anakim as we move forward in what God has called us to. And will we believe God for them? And so as we come to this time, first Sunday past the restrictions in this province, we can make some parallels. I'm not saying it's the same, but we can make some parallels to a Kadesh Barnea experience. What are we going to do moving forward? Are we going to continue to grumble, complain? Are we going to continue to be divided? Are we going to seek to deal with what God wants to show in our hearts? Whatever that may be, whether that be fear, whether that be anxiety, whether that be just simply, God, I haven't really been obedient to what you've been commanding me to do. Or maybe it's even in sinful responses, and we have to go to some individual and say, would you forgive me? Whatever it may be, may God deal with our hearts to seek to move forward, and that we can see the manifold power of God in whatever he has for us in the future. Yes, life is uncertain. All around us is seeming to scream that this is a unique time. But our God is still the same. Our God is still on the throne. And God wants to do big things if we, his people, would yet submit to him and to seek by faith, God, with your enabling, I'm going to move forward. So let's be a church that desires to move forward, dealing with what God shows us, and then seeking together to move forward. This is this morning, closing a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this time we've had this morning. And thank you for your dealings with the Israelites, your people, wanting to show them great and mighty things and to give them a blessing of their own land. But yet they turn back. And Heavenly Father, may we be people who don't turn back, but we believe you, that you are faithful, that you will never leave us or desert us, and that we can move forward by faith. So thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're still on the throne today. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless as you deal with what he has shown you.